going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it. Guess what? I'm sitting with one. Text AM to 52886, Ron, 52886, and tell Congress to keep AM in radio. Ron, keep AM in radios. Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show. Look, I just did it. I don't have to text it now. With us now is we're blessed, folks. We're very fortunate. We have 3 out of 4. We have a great federal delegation to Congress in Kansas, and with us now is our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Ron, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you having me on, and it was a great introduction that you gave. Because I am a co-sponsor of the bill to actually keep AM radio in cars. I mean, that's one of the things that just from an emergency broadcast standpoint and being able to get so much information across, particularly rural America, it's so important that we actually
think we can get that this year.
There's a lot of things moving on right now, and we'll see how the year unfolds. So right now we got one big beautiful field that we're focused on.
We'll get to that. Let me start with, I think it was KSN or one of the TV, I saw their news feed that you were in El Salvador recently as part of a trade mission, by the way. You weren't there to visit Alberto Garcia. But I'm curious, tell me about that. Tell me about the visit, the trip, and what you all were able to accomplish or what the purpose was.
Yeah, well, we went down a trip. It was mostly Ways and Means members, and of course we're responsible for all trade issues. So we went down, went to Panama, went to Brazil, went to Costa Rica, and also went to El Salvador when we were there. We toured the Panama Canal. Look how important that was from a trade standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
and just the cost of goods being able to get to and from. And the number one destination is to the east coast of the United States. So obviously, and then number two is from the west coast over to Europe. And so we need to make sure that we keep that open. We keep good control there. Obviously, there's some issues with Brazil on trade, particularly around tariffs. And we can talk some more about tariffs in general. But Brazil puts tariffs on things like ethanol that comes from the United States, but you know, it puts 18%, and whereas it's only 2.5% coming from the United States. And so obviously that impacts our farmers in Kansas and across the country. So the real focus was on trade. But while we were down there, we actually went to El Salvador. We were able to get into CECOT. And actually,
that's the prison, correct?
That's the prison there. And you know, the backstory, this isn't something the media really talks about, but the president down there 4 years ago said he's going to do something about crime. He made it his goal. He pledged that he was going to do that, and he did. What he did was he went out and built a prison. He built his they're able to hold up to 40,000 people, and they built it in less than 8 months. And it is, we were able to get inside with, I think they have like 15,000 people that have committed crimes in El Salvador that are already locked up. And what's happened is because the president said, we're going to lock people up, we're going to prosecute them, and we're going to convict them, or we're going to detain them. The crime rate's gone down in El Salvador. It worked. He did what he needed to do. The country's a lot safer now because of that. And because of that as well, they had open space now. So, you know, when we talk about some of the deportees for some of these other countries that have come across illegally over the last 4 years or longer, that's kind of a way station while the country, you know, whether it's in South Central America or whether it's in Africa or Eastern Europe, they're being held there while they're waiting to be processed by the country to be received. And so, you know, it's a prison. It's not a place I'd want to go spend time in, but
the conditions aren't as horrible as what, I mean, the media is making this place out to be like, you know, some Nazi death camp.
Make it sound like a gulag or that.
Yes,
it's a concrete building. Yes, it's, you don't have cable TV. You don't have air conditioning. You don't have all the, amenities
parlors
that you might have.
It's not the Marriott.
But while we were there, they had a doctor's and nurse set up. They had an infirmary inside the building that they can utilize. They had folks out doing exercises and stretching, and they brought out some of the prisoners and talked about some of their crimes that they were convicted of, and having the gang tattoos and everything just to highlight who they were and what their crimes were and how that impacted people in El Salvador.
Tell me what your thoughts are. I mean, it seems obviously they're on the opposite side of the aisle from you, so you're going to have some ideological differences with some of your colleagues. But it cannot be smart for some of these folks, your colleagues. You've had one senator and, what, four of your congressional colleagues fly down to El Salvador, one of whom pledged she wouldn't come back until she came back with him. And, of course, then she came back this week because he's still there. But I find it amazing that they're making so many things about Albrego Garcia. He's not a Maryland man. He's not a mild-mannered father. He's an illegal immigrant with a history of violence and gang activity. And yet they're trying to make this guy like he's, you know, Santa Claus.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can count that up as another broken promise, you know, to commit to stay
yes,
there.
And yes.
Another Democrat campaign broken promise.
She went home.
You know, the thing about it is it's really the Democrats over the last, particularly the last 4 years, they either turned a blind eye or they were complicit in supporting what President Biden was doing to allow all these illegal people to come into our border and to come into our country. And instead, you know, President Trump says we're going to enforce the law, which is the exact same law that he had in his first term, Biden had during his term, and Trump's enforcing again now. You know, the folks, particularly, you know, a U.S. senator, U.S. Congress members, they ought to be focusing on how do they support American citizens. That's the role. They shouldn't be worried about El Salvador citizens as much as they should be worried about American citizens. And it's really sad to see where they put their priorities. But it's just a continuation of some of the waste, fraud, and abuse and other things that they're trying to support and encourage and continue.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Von Holland, the Senator Von Holland, you know, he didn't even bother to pay lip service when his own constituent died, didn't even reach out to her mother, and yet he's doing all of this for Albrego Garcia, who's not a constituent. He's an illegal. They talk about bring the Maryland man home. I'm sorry, he is home.
Yep. He's an El Salvador citizen, and he's back where his home country. And, you know, a U.S. senator like Van Hollen ought to be supporting U.S. citizens instead of supporting El Salvador citizens.
We're talking with 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Ron, you return to D.C. tomorrow. Like you mentioned earlier, number one priority is the budget. Probably Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is got to be a key part of that.
Yes. I mean, that's the biggest thing on our plate right now. We completed the first step of the budget reconciliation process. Basically, we got a budget resolution passed, same version, same wording, passed both the House and the Senate. It took the Senate amended the House's original version, and so the House had to pass it a second time in order to move forward. But we want to do, and you know, the president came up with the name of One Big Beautiful Bill, but it's so important to do that so that we can get it done. And the things that are in that bill, one, we're starting to go after mandatory spending and looking at ways that we can actually cut the deficit through that process. And then the biggest thing out there that's going to affect so many people across America is the extension and renewal of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that we passed in 2017. You know, there was so much positive that came out of that when we passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that we saw the economy grow. We saw people's salaries go. We saw more bonuses. We saw money being brought back into the United States for multinational companies, and they were using it to invest in the United States. They built new plants, they built research and development facilities, and spent the money here, invested here, and took our economy off. In fact, we actually made more in tax revenue over the last 7 years than what was projected by the
right.
Congressional Budget Office.
Right.
And they said we'd lose $1.5 trillion. We've actually more than made up for that through 2024. So we still have a few more years to make that happen. And we can't go backwards.
You know, it'd be a massive tax increase.
That's right. Back in 2017, you think about, you know, the Economist and President Obama were saying, well, we've just got this new normal. You just have to accept slow economic growth.
Right.
We had stagnant wages. Those are the types of things that were hurting Americans, and we can't go back to that.
It's like $3,000 for the average Kansas.
It's about $2,200 would be a tax increase for the average Kansan if we don't extend the tax cuts through that process. And that's – there were so many good things in there that relate to pro-economic growth and pro-family, pro-middle class. I mean, we doubled the child tax credit as part of that. If we don't do the extension, that cuts back in half. We increased the standard deduction so people don't have to collect all their receipts and use it to itemize because the standard deduction's so high now. 91-92% of the people take the standard deduction because it's over $30,000 for a couple.
Right.
On that standard deduction. And so those are the things that make it easier to do your taxes. I mean, nobody likes to fill out the tax return. Nobody wants to pay the IRS.
Oh, but no.
We want to make it as easy and streamlined and make it so that it actually helps Americans instead of harms them.
The big talk right now is, we're at Trump's first 100 days. If you had to give him a letter grade, how would you grade the president's first 100 days?
You know, if you look at what the president, I guess this Wednesday when the first 100 days
right,
passes,
yep.
You know, the president campaigned on some specific things. And he's hit the ground running, working on almost everything that he talked about in the campaign. And yes, a lot of it's being done by executive orders. A lot of it's being done by the directions he's done his cabinet. Legislative process takes a little bit longer to codify some of those things. But you just look at all of that and activity and things that are going on. He's addressed the imbalances on the trade and the tariff activity. Haven't got all that resolved yet. I mean, it's created a little bit of the turmoil as we go through that change process.
Do you feel confident that will work itself out? I mean, countries are starting to come to the table. I know he's worked out deals with Israel and India. There are some countries that are already starting to come to.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll work itself out?
It really is. And you know, you look at the imbalances. Even countries that are our friends have been over assigning tariffs to U.S. products. You know, whether it's Canada putting 200% or 300% tariffs on agriculture products or butter or dairy products and other things. You know, we don't sell much American beef to Australia because of the tariff they put on it. But Australian beef comes into the United States. And so even our friends have tariffs on products that they want to support. That first week of April when the tariffs structure was announced, before it was said we're going to put a 90-day moratorium on it, I believe in talking to Trade Ambassador Greer, that 70 different countries had reached out just in the first few days of that week afterwards to talk about, you know, we recognize that there's some injustice out there and you got to sort through that. And so I think for a lot of countries, they're going to say, yes, let's do the right thing moving forward. I think there's some that are going to drag their feet. I think China obviously is going to drag their feet because they realize how much money they're skimming off of the United States on all the activities they do and want to continue that. Canada and a lot of places have done the same even through USMCA. So I think that's one of those areas that we have to continue to work on, and we'll get as much as we can done and as quickly as possible. I think, you know, just in general, I'm not a big advocate of tariffs, because what they really are is it increases price of goods and it distorts the marketplace. And you want to make sure that you have a good common sense free market for people to make decisions on. The best tariffs, one you propose that actually then leads to the negotiation and never gets implemented.
Which I think is his plan all along. I think a lot of this has been a threat, and then they come to the table and you never have to actually.
It really is. And he's not the first president to talk about this injustice on the tariffs. It's just that his predecessors, whether they were Democrat or Republican, knew it was going to be there's going to be some tumultuous activity in that, and as you go through that change, and they didn't want to address that. But President Trump's been willing to step up.
They weren't willing to take the heat, and
that's right.
As we've seen before. Yep. I have to ask you about this. I don't know if you saw it today. The minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, and a few of his colleagues held a sit-in on the Capitol steps. Like eight people showed up, half of whom were probably staffers. You've been in the minority. I mean, it just seems like right now they're wandering around without a plan and just throwing bombs and trying to find AOC running around talking about I don't know what's going on across the aisle.
Yeah. I mean, they really have no vision, and the vision talked about that they've supported is completely opposite of what Americans want.
And far left.
They're trying to support the continuation of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. They're trying to support illegal immigration coming
men
into the country.
Men playing girls' sports.
Yeah. So many of those things that they're out promoting, and now they're saying, oh, wait a minute, the voters don't want that. You know, what do we do? And they can't figure out what they want to do. So they're actually just flailing around that, because they don't have anything positive to talk about for America. So they try to do some sound bites. You know, we talked earlier about Van Hollen and some other members of Congress that went down to rail on, you know, illegal immigrant and helped support that. We look at other things that are out there, you know, whether you talk about just the things that are bloated in the government, and how much trying to rein in some of that spending and where things have gone. And as DOGE and other things are being uncovered, we're seeing that a lot of that money's flowing into Democrat supporters and Democrat donors.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the federal treasury.
We had a guest on last hour who talked about the Stacey Abrams money and some of the EPA money that Biden, you know, billions of dollars that was going to some of these organizations.
Being funneled to these organizations. Right. And in a lot of cases, once it leaves the government hands, if there's not strict provisions for oversight, it's disappeared. I mean, there is no control over it after that, after it gets out. And so, you know, the Democrats, they don't have a message. They don't have something that the American people want. And, you know, American people, they want a strong America. They want to have good economic growth. They want to have jobs for Americans, and want to make sure that we have good, strong defense for our country.
And then they want the government to leave them alone. I mean, which is hard for people who love the nanny state, is what the opposite
side
of the aisle.
That's right. I mean, our whole system was based on having limited government so that people could have more freedom, more choices, and opportunity to do what they want to do. And that's just, it's gotten so bloated over time.
Congressman, I appreciate you as always coming and joining us. If folks want to reach out, if they want to, I know I get your Ron's Reads. If they want to get your newsletter or stay in touch, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, the best way to do that is estes.house.gov. That's our website. I mean, you can sign up for a newsletter there and keep up with some of the things that are going on.
Well, I have credit where credit's due. I have stolen more than one carry-on commentary from your Ron's Reads. So thank you again, and always a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, it's great, and you know, our staff pulls together a lot of good things that they see and helps out with making that happen.
Well, my best.
Thank you for being here.
To Debbie and to Roman and to your lovely wife, your better half.
Well, thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Studio lines are open. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, coming up next month, third Sunday in May, we'll be broadcasting from the AFP headquarters downtown at Union Station, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. And if you're looking for a way to get involved, the folks at AFP are fantastic. Great opportunity to get involved, to make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And also our show's expanding. Starting Saturday, we'll be rebroadcasting the John Whitmer Show 1 to 3 on Saturdays right here on KNSS. What a great, he is just, I love Ron. He's a rock star, no nonsense. You can trust him. That's one of the things I love about him, is he shoots straight from the hip and you can trust him.
I love my spot here from up in the gallery. So I can watch the two of you banter back and forth, and there's no hesitation with any of his answers.
He's a politician, but he doesn't give you politician answers.
He knows what he's talking about, and he's very straightforward, very honest. Honest and politician, does that go together?
Does on the right, on the good ones.
He personifies that, though. He projects that, and it's nice. It's refreshing.
I've never gotten the BS politician answers out of him. There are a few of them that don't do that. You know, there are a lot of them that do that at the state, local, and federal level. And I've interviewed a lot of politicians. And all too often you get that calculated answer where I have to figure out what am I supposed to say, or they glance over at their staffer and, you know, or their notes. Okay, what am I supposed to say if I'm asked X, Y, and Z? Or did they send, you know, a lot of them ask for pre-screened questions, which I won't do. I won't give you the questions in advance because, but, you know, he didn't ask for that. They don't want that. They don't plug you with questions of here's what I want to be asked about. He just, you know, that shows up and goes.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know he'd been to the prison until I asked him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, which is cool. I mean, I think it's just interesting. But I think you're right. And you can tell there's a level of authenticity there that I appreciate that I think too many politicians, particularly in D.C., don't have. So it's nice that we have that in Ron Estes, and I appreciate him, and I think that's why people connect with him. But then again, I'm biased because I've known Ron since he was our state treasurer, and so I've gotten to know him for years. I've known him and his wife Susan for decades, and so we've been friends, and I've been in their home, and so there's just been, you know, I've had that rapport with them for a long time. But it is nice to have that relationship. So we'll take a quick break and pay a few bills, and then Wichita City Councilman J.V. Johnston will try to explain why some of his colleagues are considering, wait for it, raising taxes, specifically property taxes, to address projected budget deficits in 26 and 27. 316-869-1330 is the studio line. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Make sure you stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to get all the latest updates on the show, like, for example, the fact that we're now rebroadcasting on Saturdays. Facing a deficit of several million dollars in the coming years, some City of Wichita elected officials are talking about the possibility of increasing or adding taxes. Options could include a 1% city sales tax or a mill levy property tax rate increase. With us now is J.V. Johnston, Wichita City Council member. J.V., thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thank you, John.
So, and I want to get to this issue, but before we do, I know, just because I know we're friends and I know your background, let me put that, like, put a pin in that and talk to you a little bit about, because I know how devout you are and know that your background, the Pope Francis, we just had the funeral. It's been for Catholics, you know, my good friend Blake Carpenter is a Catholic, and I've got friends who are Catholics. I'm just curious for your thoughts on the passing of Pope Francis.
Well, he was just remarkable, in my mind, a remarkable Pope, remarkable priest, and just a great person. He's dearly going to be missed. He did question some things, and he was just very humble, and he was really just inclusive of everyone.
The humility, so, you could see for sure, and even in the just in the ceremony of his funeral was very simple, elegant, but still simple. You know, the coffin was simple, the proceedings were simple, even his where he's being buried is simple, and just his name is the only thing on the tombstone. Just a very simple, godly man, and I actually appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too, John. He was, you know, just a wooden coffin, nothing fancy,
right?
Not getting buried in where most popes get buried, in the conclaves, but he just very, very humble. And you're right, even his headstone, just you know, Papa Francis,
right?
That's it.
Yep, just his name. It's. Yeah. You've got the, I think they announced, or they're going to, but the conclave begins a few days, a week or so. Have you given, if you had to guess, where do you think they'll lean on who the next pope is? I'm not a Catholic, so I don't follow it, but I know there's been a lot of people who are looking at some of the African cardinals as front runners. Cardinal Serra was one that I think, you know, a lot of people are, at least on social media, think would be a phenomenal new pope. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, it's a wild card because nobody knows. You know, there's some front runners. You know, one of the cardinals from Italy has met all of the cardinals. And so some people are saying that he might be a front runner. And then, like you say, maybe some from Africa or, you know, another continent might be a front runner. So you just don't know. It's a very private process, and we'll just see how it shakes out. Wait for the white smoke.
Yeah, and the one thing I would tell people is don't go watch the movie Conclave and think that's the way it happens, because trust me, that movie isn't. Well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there's a gotcha thing, a moment in that movie that will ruin it for a lot of people. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
My wife and I plan on watching it maybe tomorrow night, so we have not watched it yet.
It's, from what I understand, there's a lot of historical accuracies in the process, and it's very interesting. But I've seen some interviews with some papal experts that talk about the conclaves themselves are nowhere near as political as the movie makes out. And there is a how do I want to phrase this without ruining it? There's a woke LGBTQ moment in the movie that will ruin it for many people. So I'll just put it that way.
Is that right? I'll see.
Yeah. Let me know what you think. Okay. All right. Let's get to the topic at hand. One of your colleagues, Brandon Johnson, who frankly has never found a tax increase he didn't like, put forward. Yeah. And you and I both know that the city of Wichita is facing a several million dollar deficit. It's nothing new. I've had you and Dalton and Mayor Wu on. We've discussed this many times, but right now to be considering a property, even a sales tax increase, but certainly a property tax increase, is asinine. And yet here's Brandon Johnson on Channel 3 this week talking about raising property taxes. I can't imagine. Well, I know there are probably three no votes. Please tell me there's at least four for that.
Well, you got to hope so. You know, I'm definitely a no vote. There's no way I'd rate property taxes, and we need to find ways that we can lower property taxes. So it's just a non-starter for me to raise property taxes.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're aware. I know that you know that Councilman Glasscock formed a budget advisory committee. I serve on the budget advisory committee, and we've been doing a deep dive for months now into the city of Wichita's budget, and we've found millions in potential savings. And I mean, there's obvious things like the 2% that goes to art, or the, you know, I mean, look, before we start raising taxes, there's gotta be ways that we could look to cut spending without raising taxes on folks that are taxed enough already. And I'm just surprised. Maybe it's because Brandon's not, you know, he's term limited and he's not running again, that he would be so willing to even put this forward like that.
Well, you got to remember what district he's from, too.
Yeah.
One that benefits probably from more of the taxes than any other district. You know, most of the taxes are paid, or at least almost 50% are paid by District 2 and District 5. So that's, you know, northwest Wichita and, you know, east Wichita. So we definitely support most of the goings on at the city. What I hear from people is, especially retired people who are on a fixed income, they say, listen, my property taxes are going up 8, 10, 13, 18%, and my income's only going up 3 or 4%.
Right.
Through Social Security or investments or whatever. And the numbers just don't work that way.
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, yeah.
My most recent assessment went up 6%, but last year it went up 18%. So I'm in that boat. I know exactly what you're talking about on property taxes. And
yeah, mine went up 13% this year and more than that last year. So.
Right. So, and yet I guarantee you, you're like me and have done nothing more than mow the lawn over that 2 year period of time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you think about the idea? You know, I know that County Commissioner Ryan Beatty has looked at the idea of maybe doing a sales tax. Doesn't necessarily have to be 1%. It could be, you know, 7% or 0.7% or 0.5% or whatever. And then using some of that revenue to lower property taxes. And then the other portion of it to offset some of this, you know, this revenue that you need. What do you think of something like that?
You know, Commissioner Beatty's been talking about that for the last year and a half.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I would like to have a discussion about that. I think if we can, we have to determine how is our local government going to be funded. Is it going to be mainly property tax? Is it with a little bit of sales tax? Or can we put a little bit more of the burden on sales tax and take some relief off property owners? So I think that's a discussion we need to have. And I would certainly favor having that discussion, and I probably would favor that also. They say that 20-25% of the sales tax comes from outside the city of Wichita. So, you know, let's have these bedroom communities around us who use our streets, our library, our services, even our fire goes out and helps with their fire departments and things. You know, let's have them pay a little bit more for the services they are using in the city of Wichita.
Well, so, and the nice thing about a sales tax is that would go to the people. So if they don't like it, they could vote no, but at least it would be a vote that would have to go to the people and would allow it would allow for that democratic process, as opposed to, you know, raising the revenue R&R or property tax increase, which would just be the seven of you.
It's true. That's true. Sales tax would have to go out for a vote, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, it's worth at least considering. I'm not a big tax guy anyway, but I certainly like that. I would rather see something like that where at least the people get a chance to vote on it, and then if they don't like it, then they'll vote it down. But at least it's something to consider.
JV, yeah. I appreciate you as always, especially stepping in. It's nice to you and I don't have a chance to talk as often as I'd like, but it's I appreciate you joining us. If folks want to reach out to you, if they have questions, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, they can obviously email me at City Hall, jvjohnston@wichita.gov. And I give people my cell number, 640-6442. Just text me or call me. I'd be glad to talk to them and have that discussion. One thing I might say, John, is a 1% sales tax for the city of Wichita is $108 million a year. One mill levy is equal to about $5 million a year. So to your point, we don't have to do 1%. It could be 0.5%.
Exactly.
And have half of that and be $54 million, and we could lower the mill levy by 10, 11 mills.
There you go. So, and still have extra revenue to help offset your losses that your shortfall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
it's a great idea.
People think about it, and I'm certainly looking for ways that we can cut property taxes.
And I don't think a 0.5-cent sales tax would break anybody's budget necessarily, but raising a property tax on folks who are already getting taxed out of their homes. I mean, we just talked about the Goddard School District, and that $350 a year on people living out in Goddard schools, that's going to kill some people. So, I brother, I appreciate you, and I appreciate your willingness to be open minded about this stuff.
Well, I appreciate it, John, and thanks for your show and all your listeners. If they don't reach out to me, I'd be more than happy to talk to him.
Thank you, JV. Have a good rest of your weekend. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. What do you think? Should the city of Wichita look at a 0.5-cent sales tax in order to cover their budget shortfall? I think they should just cut spending and leave it at that. But, hey, you got to get 4 votes. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. Speaking of Saturdays, starting Saturday, the John Whitmer Show will be rebroadcast on Saturdays from 1 to 3. This song will be appropriate. And don't forget about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks. If you're looking for a way to change the trajectory of our city or the county or the state, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. John, you're on the John Whitmer Show. John, doctor, thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, John, thanks. Great show.
Thank you.
You've already touched on this. Yeah, you bet. Not necessarily how I'm looking at this, but you pretty much have said it. So when Vice President Harris was running for office, she had proposed that she's going to tax artwork and all these various categories of things that have gone up in value. So basically an unrealized tax on things that we have not sold as the citizenry. So I kind of look at our county government and somewhat city, the tax entities that benefit from property valuations going up, they're essentially doing the same thing that we all just went ballistic about when Vice President Harris proposed that. I mean, essentially, they're saying, hey, your property has value has gone up. You didn't sell it, and we don't care whether you sold it or not, but we're going to tax it at the new rate. And I don't know how we get out of it, because if they don't raise the valuation, and you know this, if our property values go down, they're going to raise the mill levy. So they're going to get what they want. But I'd like the context of our valuations go up. We're being taxed on an unrealized gain that we don't sell our property. What are your thoughts about this?
I'm a fan. The legislature looked at it this year. I wish they'd done it. The Senate passed it. I'm a fan of putting a cap. Capping. The problem is the appraisal process. So I think that you should put a cap on appraisals. I think that's really the problem here. JV mentioned it. Our home, for example, this year, shockingly, they only raised it 6%. But last year it was 18%. The year before that, I believe it was 19%. And again, we've done nothing but mow the lawn and need to repaint the fence. There's no reason for our home to have gone. In the last 10 years, our home has increased by $100,000 in value. We built it a little over 10 years ago, and it's literally worth over $350,000 now. And we've done nothing. We have done nothing but mow the lawn.
Yeah, well you know that, like, there are states around the country, and I know it's been brought up in our legislature. You probably were part of it, that especially for retirees, you know, once you hit 65 or the age you retire, like you're saying, you cap it and that's it. And this is all a function of our state legislature. I live in Reno County, and they're forever talking about the valuations are completely based on what the state tells us they have to be within 5% one appraisal every 3 years or 5 years, whatever it is.
Correct, which is accurate, but what they don't do is put a cap. And I think they should be something, you know, 4%, 5%, whatever, that you can't exceed that. So the maximum that your house property taxes could go up every year is 5% or something like that. And that way you're putting some kind of a limit on, so that you're not having this happen. And if that requires then the cities and the counties to start being, oh my God, fiscally responsible and learn to live within their means, well, then do so. If they need more revenue, then they can go back to the taxpayers and ask for a sales tax or ask to raise property taxes. But this evaluations are where the problem is here.
Yeah, well, I'll let you go here, but I just encourage everybody. Obviously, the session is over for this year. They're already starting on next year pretty quick.
Yes, they are.
So a lot of us need to get behind this and say, put that cap on. And, John, appreciate your show. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, John. Yeah, that is, I mean, it came up this year. The Senate passed it. The House had their version. I know that they are working on the issue. The problem is, The state, as you know, we've talked about it on this show, the state is now really out of the business of collecting property taxes now. They can do something about capping valuations, but the state no longer collects property taxes. So now if you really want to address property taxes, it's three entities, cities, counties, and schools. And frankly, the schools are the number one culprit. So you've got to, well, look at what Goddard's doing. I mean, it's a massive tax increase on Goddard residents. And $350 a year is a massive tax increase. Also, they can build a bunch of athletic fields and press boxes. And this is the stuff that we've got to start addressing, cities, counties, and schools and property taxes. That's the only way you're going to stop it, is if you start electing people at these local levels who are fiscally responsible. We'll be with you next Sunday. And of course, you can listen again on Saturdays. In the meantime, carry on.